Good morning and welcome to the Superstars of Business as Pioneer Natural Resources gives us another in-depth look at our area businesses, the people, the organizations, the products, and the services that they provide that make our area work. And helping to make our area work, we spotlight today SOY, the Service Organization for Youth. Many, many services that they provide for our area. And into the studios comes Furman and Company. Well, Furman, you and I are the not the best looking ones in the studios this morning.
I'd say that.
It's a good thing it is radio. You brought some ladies with you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Billy.
How is Service Organization for Youth?
We're moving along, busy as ever.
Yeah? Okay. Yep. All right. Well, go ahead and, well, let's set up a little. Let's do the history thing again, that history lesson. We've talked about this before, but certainly people have not heard it. Some people have forgot it. And so it bears repeating. Service Organization for Youth, how did it start?
It started back in 1983, and gosh, I was going to bring some of the founding members, a list of those people, but it was started as a private nonprofit to serve as a, extension of CYFD, because they don't always provide direct services. So they wanted a contractor in the community that would provide counseling and therapy. So that's how that started, with one contract, and in 1983 it was incorporated as a private nonprofit.
Okay, very good. And here we are in 2011, still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And started with one contracting service, you said?
One small contracting service. Okay. I think when they had started, there was probably two, maybe three people. And now we have 14 full-time.
Okay.
It'll be 14 when we bring another person on to start another program.
Okay, and so expanding even more.
Expanding, yep.
Okay. Tell us of some of those services now that you have expanded to.
Okay, well, the original, the one that we've always had, it's called the Children's Behavioral Health Services. Back then it was called CHINS. No, actually, it was something before that, because it was under the Human Services Department, and I think it was called something else. Then it went to CHINS. Then it went to a couple of different changes, and now it finally, under the CYFD and Optum Health, is called Children's Behavioral Health Services. And there's multiple components and multiple services. It's a menu of services that we provide under that contract, and some of them include counseling and therapy, that's individual, group, and families, mental health evaluations and treatment planning, med evaluations and med management, case management services, or case coordination is what it's called now, life skills development, intensive home-based services under the component family stabilization, and there's different methods of life skills that we can provide under that contract as well. And one thing that we have added, and that falls under that category, but it's funded under a different name and actually even a different organization, is Behavioral Management Services, and that's provided out of a group in Santa Fe, and that's Easter Seals, El Mirador, and Casa de Corazon. They are our provider partners. And they are, they're all over the northeastern part of the state. So we're lucky enough to have them. And one of our persons that is the manager of that service component is Mickey DeLapp. She's not able to be with us today.
Okay.
And then under prevention, we have tobacco use prevention and control. We have a CYFD component under, and I'll have these ladies talk about that here pretty soon, but the Juvenile Justice Advisory Committee under CYFD, delinquency prevention also includes group activities. We have youth employment under the National Park Service and the Summer Food Program. We have done, but we didn't do it last year, AmeriCorps Vista Volunteers of America, we're a sponsor. And the Bridge Project, which also has treatment and intervention, but a part of that is a prevention component, which we contract with the YES program, Youth Empowerment Services. And under family services, we have the in-home services component, time-limited reunification, family support services, and family stabilization. And then we have other, and then again, these ladies will talk about this other component, the juvenile community corrections program, and under treatment for youth and families, other than mental health, we have the juvenile drug court, and that's for substance abuse. And also under substance abuse, we have the total community approach, which is a larger expansion of that.
So, 14 full-time employees. You guys are overworked.
After all that list.
Now, you don't all provide all of those services, I'm sure. You kind of contract. In collaboration, et cetera, with...
Just like the behavioral management services that we... co-opt out of another program. And then also, let's see, what else did I mention? Another one that I didn't mention is the summer food program. And that is during the summer, but we have probably 20 seasonal people that we hire, and most of them are kids, so that's a good opportunity for kids to have jobs during the summer.
Right.
And good opportunity to feed kids during the summer, too. I think we have a average daily attendance of around 900 for lunches, and then we serve breakfasts when they have summer school.
Okay.
As well.
And that's not only in Raton, but in the surrounding communities.
All over the county.
Okay. Yep. Very good. So you started with, in 1983, with three, you said, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then now to 14. And where was the original office?
It was above Solano's, right above the shoe shop. Mm-hmm. So we had kids going up and down the stairs, and Mr. Solano and Mrs. Solano were very patient with us, and they were really great with us and the kids and everything. But we were up there for quite a few years until we were able to get a CDBG grant and a legislative appropriation and some donations, and we're able to build our new facility, which is located up by the high school, right above the tennis courts.
Okay.
So we were down there for a while. We expanded because of the expansion of the programs, more employees and so forth, mm-hmm. and it was just a bigger, better space that we needed.
Okay. All right. And how many children do you serve? How many clients?
Oh, gosh, now?
Yeah.
I'd say... As I mentioned, the summer food program, average daily attendance is 900. Under our counseling and therapy services, probably at any one time, probably about over 100, probably about 120 to 130, because we're going all over the county, and including Union County, which we go as far as Clayton, and we provide services at the Wellness Center over there in Des Moines. And then I have therapists that go to Springer and Cimarron as well.
Okay, so Colfax and Union Counties, mm-hmm. then you cover.
And then we have our family services, which actually go into Clayton as well, and all the way west up into Angel Fire.
Okay. Is there more of a need for the services?
Or is there
more awareness that services are needed?
I think there's probably a combination of both. I think if you go back and look, there was probably ADHD kids in every classroom. We just didn't know. We thought they were just uncontrollable youth or whatever, but now we understand what the meaning of their behaviors are, and we're able to do something about that, not always with medication, but with behavioral, services and therapy and so forth. So I think it was always there. We mm-hmm. just didn't know what it was or how to diagnose it or so forth. But it's become kind of more of a service that we're able to provide now, be identifiable.
And we're talking about things a little bit more now.
Right.
PTSD, uh-huh. post-traumatic stress syndrome. They always had that
yep.
in every branch of service. It's just that here in the last well, since the Vietnam War, that has come to the forefront, and now people are able to talk about that and deal with that a little bit more openly.
Yep, I think so.
Instead of keeping it inside.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have probably suffered quietly and in, you know, kind of in the shadows, and now it's out in the open and we're able to talk about it, like you said, and treat it.
Okay, all right. Let's talk to the ladies that you've brought here today. Go ahead and... Oh, you have the microphone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And your name is?
Angie Ortega.
Angie, what do you do with soy?
Let's see. Okay, I got this. I do three different programs. I'm a program coordinator. Three of the programs that I do are TUPAC, which is tobacco prevention. The other one is the JJAC, which stands for Juvenile Justice Advisory Continuum. And then the third one is JCC, which is Juvenile Community Corrections. So, I also have a helper, and she's awesome. She's the assistant program coordinator, and I wish she was here to do this with me. Her name is Angel Segura, and she's the heaven sent. She's really helpful. So what we're doing right now, the JCC, that program basically is just to help kids that are on probation successfully complete probation. So it's a lot of extra support. It covers family support if we're kind of there for the families if they need help adjusting to when the kids come back from detention and things like that. We do job preparation skills, life skills, kind of pretty much anything we can do to keep them busy and keep them on a good path. So that's that program. The JJAC program, that one basically it's a grant that we have here in from the city of Raton. That one is delinquency prevention. So we work on different projects there, whatever it calls for that grant year. So this year, we're going to be starting Girl Circles, which is kind of a life skills group. We're going to be doing a conference here on December 2nd, and it is open to the public, and it's for drug and prescription medication and over-the-counter medication awareness. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's open to the public. It'll be December 2nd. From 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon for social workers and law enforcement, there will be CEUs for that. And we'll have a couple of really good guest speakers down, and I'm pretty sure we're working on having the high school cater to the lunch, so it will cost $10, but that'll cover the lunch. And if anybody is interested, they can just call the office at 445-8568, and we'll get them registered, but that should be pretty exciting.
Nice plug.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice plug. And that's December 2nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other program, we kind of haven't gotten started on that because the grant's just now coming through, but that one is the tobacco prevention. Typically what that entails is just doing education kind of in the schools, working with the kiddos on teaching them to avoid starting in the first place using tobacco, and we'll find out more details on that one here pretty soon, shortly.
Okay.
So that covers my programs.
Okay. Well, that's a big chunk of things. A lot of kids, unfortunately, get into trouble, whatever the reason might be. But it's nice that there is a way to help them navigate back and to become a productive citizen, etc. And also for the families, that's important too, isn't it?
Right,
yeah,
right.
For the support for them to help them deal with this and also to find other alternatives.
Mm-hmm. But it takes the right, I guess, person or persons to do the program, because you really have to develop the trust with the families and be able to work with them in that way. So Angie and Angel do a great job.
Really have to like people.
Yep.
Really
yep.
Is what and it is, and care about them.
Yep.
Because if they don't feel that, then yeah.
No. And this is a pretty hard population to work with, as you'll the same with you'll hear about the juvenile drug court as well. So
right.
You have to be very patient.
Yeah,
you have to be patient, and
after
and
all, they're kids.
Yeah,
you know, most of them. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's the same with the parents. If they don't trust you, they're not going to let you in, and they're not going to be able to.
And some
of,
some
help
of,
you.
Some of the parents are kids too. that's another story. Okay, all right. As far as the TUPAC goes, the smoking prevention, I've noticed that it swung one way. The pendulum swung one way. Now I see a lot more young people puffing too. As a matter of fact.
Well, it kind of goes, yeah, in cycles, mm-hmm. but another thing is dipping too, you know, chewing tobacco mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think they're more aware, and I think the links, you know, they know, well, okay, if I smoke, I'm going to get cancer or, you know, something bad's going to happen. So I think the awareness is there, and if we can start the kids earlier with that awareness, they're less likely to start a bad habit like that.
Right.
So, I mean, they have to know what the consequences are of tobacco use.
Right. Of any of their actions, as a matter of fact. You know, we sometimes get that Superman complex, you know, nothing can hurt me, I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and then when you get to be our age, Furman, just kidding, of course, you just, you become a little bit more aware of your surroundings. Okay, Angie, thank you.
Thanks.
And thanks for what you do, too, for our area. And next, your name, please?
Deborah Vega Cowan.
Deborah. And what is your job?
Actually, I wear three hats at SOY as well. I do mental health outpatient therapy. I'm the clinical site supervisor for the behavioral management program, and I am the drug court therapist.
Okay. Three hats, huh? Okay. Very good. Now, mental health, et cetera, that's in and of itself a big, big subject. And within that are very many other subcategories, so to speak. So, are all of your clients referred? Okay, say I'm a parent and I think, you know, we might have a problem. So, what is the next step? Do I call SOY, and then what happens after we call you? Am I not going there? I've got a puzzled look on your face.
No. An appointment is made as soon as possible, and then they're given an assessment, and we go from there.
Okay, an assessment is made.
Mm-hmm. And those are self-referrals, but we also get referrals from the schools, and as Angie mentioned, you know, for that, those ones that are in probation, of course, they're involved with juvenile justice and the JPO office, and that's CYFD. So those would come from, I mean, those referrals would come from the JPO office. So school, self-referral, JPOs, CYFD, protective services, we get from a lot of different sources.
Well, you guys work together in collaboration very closely then, because some things will leak over into the other matters of expertise that you have.
Because we are a support service to CYFD, that's what we're contracted for, and then of course the schools as well.
Right. Right. And of course, services are strictly confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, some of the mental health issues that we have, we talked about a couple of them, ADA. What are some of the other just wide range of things that you have to deal with?
Oh, anywhere from ADHD, oppositional defiance, conduct disorder, anxiety disorders,
depression, family conflict,
substance abuse.
Okay, so some of this also feathers into alternatives to violence too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially when kids, you know, observe it or they're involved in domestic violence. So it can be damaging. Both emotionally and physically to the children.
Hard to get out of that circle once you get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And also for smoking, drug abuse,
yep.
You know, anything is that circle, and so you need more than just yourself. You need the help.
Intervention,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Absolutely, any kind of addictions.
Right. Got fiend?
Just don't overdo it.
Just anything. You can overdo anything, can't you?
Yeah.
As
moderation.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Deborah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Mona?
Good morning.
Mona Sandoval.
I'm the case manager with Drug Court.
Okay.
And that's the one and only hat I have to wear. However, it's a tough hat to wear. It deals with referrals that come solely from the juvenile probation office. So with that in mind, we're required to provide programming for counseling, strict outpatient awareness. We work with the families. We do weekly court appearances. There's two subdivisions of drug court. There's the early intervention, and then there's drug court itself. And those programs, for the earlier one, that's usually the client that has not been using for a lengthy period. That program runs 12 weeks. For the drug court program, that's an 8-month program. That's 32 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that means that, yes, the parents are involved, weekly court appearances on progress. Sometimes they decline, and that's the hard part of the job, because that'll entail sanctions, which could include detention, community service, things like that. We do have a surveillance officer that is employed, and we do home visits, curfew checks. We do UAs when they start out the program, both programs, 3 times a week.
UA.
Urinalysis
okay.
for drug use.
All right.
Sorry.
Very good. That's okay.
And so it is an important program, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to prevent those youth from going into the YDDC, the youth diagnostic, and being sent out of the community, and giving them the opportunity to address their drug use or issues at home that contribute to the drug use. And like I say, it's a tough program for a lot of the individuals. It's been running for about, 3 years
over
now?
3 years.
Since July of 08. And I was hired in March of 08, so I've been the continuous person there with that program. And like I say, it is the full-blown drug court program is a long program.
8 months, you
mm-hmm.
said. Okay.
Yes.
Now, has use increased? Has client referrals increased?
Since my program deals with probation referrals, it has to be those that are involved in the legal system. So there is a population out there that for one reason or another have not been caught up in the legal system. They've avoided criminal activity or have had minor criminal activity, but the ones that come in through our program do have to be adjudicated through probation, have been sentenced through the children's court, and then are placed in my program.
Okay.
So I would say, yes, it's out there, and there's probably a population that isn't being addressed, but that's where Angie's program comes into play. We do have, like I said, an early intervention program, but unfortunately, it's something that we're seeing prevalent in our community.
Right. I guess the earliest intervention is parents.
Yes, mm-hmm. indeed.
You know, that's pretty much where it all starts there. My grandmother had a saying, the problem with kids is parents. So, you know,
And that's why we have four different, family program interventions. I'll go over those real quick. But one thing I want to mention is with Mona's position, she has to deal with parents, she has to deal with the system, she has to deal with the courts, she has to deal with the JPOs. So there's, and the education system, anything that involves these kids, that's Mona's job that she gets involved with. So
lots of juggling.
Yes,
yep.
And don't even mention placement out of a home.
Oh, yeah.
Because we sometimes will work with outside treatment facilities.
Right.
We've seen a lot of that in the early part of the program, mm-hmm. where we were placing the youth before we even had the opportunity to work with them. We found that they needed stronger services, mm-hmm. and so had to go into full-blown residential treatment.
And unfortunately, we get these some of these kids way into their addiction, so they may have been using for 4, 5, 6 years, and they're pretty heavily into their use, and it's harder. They're a harder population to work with.
Right. Well, it's something you have to work on every day.
Yep.
Have to work on every day. And I think we're all prone to be addictive in some mm-hmm. something or another. That's, again, something that carries constant overlooking. And that's a parent's job. And apparently that's your job, too.
Yep.
And it's a big job. And and the other services?
The other family services, and actually my program manager was supposed to be here, Amy Ronish, but she's sick today, so I'll fill in for her.
Okay.
First, there's in-home services, intensive home-based services. This is for families that have come to the attention of CYFD for possible abuse or neglect. So we'll work with those families so they don't advance into the system or have their children taken from them. And that's a tough job, too. Mm. And then the other one is the time-limited reunification. These are legal cases and where the kids are actually in custody, in state's custody, and what the workers are trying to do is reunite the kids with the family. So hopefully that's done. If not, we've had it happen before. We have to make a recommendation that does not happen, and the kids don't go back. They are placed in foster care. So unfortunately, sometimes that happens. And then another one is family support services, and this is a new one. As I mentioned, there's another person going to come on board at the end of the month. And they will be doing working with at-risk families with kids 0 to 5 years of age. And this is to prevent them to going into the system. So in preventing the child abuse and neglect, they'll work with an at-risk population of first-time parents, teen parents, low-income, different kids the families in the community that have been identified as a possible risk. You know, families mm-hmm. at risk of abuse or neglect, so we want to prevent that. And then the other one is family stabilization. That's kind of a step down. That's when they almost actually come to us looking for the help. So something's going on with the kids or the parents themselves, and they just need a little bit of help. Right. So we're able to help them with a lower level of service and just kind of teaching them parenting skills and so forth. So that's kind of the four areas of family services that we have. And these guys are working with families all the time, too. So it's not for lack of effort. We are trying to work with the parents, and we're trying to get them in a place where they are able to better raise their kids. And the kids, we're working with the kids, so they don't cause problems with the mm-hmm. parents and so forth. So there's a lot of mediation, there's a lot of family counseling, there's a lot of individual counseling, because sometimes when you're in that position where you've dug yourself so deep, it's hard to come back out. It's just, it needs, like you mentioned before, there has to be some sort of intervention there.
Mm-hmm. A monumental job.
Yeah,
really, really, really is. And how does SOI get its money to operate its programs?
Mostly it is through grants and contracts with the state. So we have every one of those programs that I'd mentioned. They are funded with contracts through the state, either with the Children, Youth, and Families Department or Department of Health, or one that you'd mentioned, JJAC. It comes through CYFD, but it's actually funded through the city. The city subcontracts with us to provide the services. Mm-hmm. So there's, and then the golf tournament.
Yeah, get another plug in.
Yeah,
sure.
And you're going to see me here again to mention about the golf tournament and all the support and the financial assistance that the community provides for us too. Because unfortunately, the contracts are getting cut. We're seeing cuts in Medicaid and so mm-hmm. forth. So luckily we have, we come from a community where we get that support, and there's a tremendous, support from not just individuals, but especially through the merchants, and we really appreciate that. And we've seen, and I think we mentioned this when I was in here last time, even as tough as harder times are now, it seems like we're getting even more support,
yeah.
which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. We have a very, very generous and giving area and community and people. Now, as just a regular Joe citizen, other than entering the golf tournament,
sign up.
How can I help SOI? What ways can the general public? Is there any way other than support for the kids and et cetera, and for the families?
Well, of course, what you're doing right now. And what you've continued to do over the years, Billy, is just given us the forum to kind of put our name out there, our services, and give us a chance to talk about our services?
Thank you. Let me rephrase the question. I didn't mean KRTN, etc. If someone is out there, just a general citizen, is there anything that they can do to help soy?
Well, we do have different, you know, areas where we can use volunteers, and then, of course, you know, the donations and so forth. We are looking at expanding. We need some more room up there. We've outgrown our facility, so we're looking to get a building put in place there, and we've had all of the staff and everybody going out and looking for donations, and that's part of this this golf tournament is raising money to get that building in place. The schools are letting us move one of their buildings onto our property to give us that capacity, to give us more room. So we're really grateful for that. I mean, geez, if it wasn't, well, going back to how we got the, you know, we started at the Solanos downtown and we got this facility up there, and that's only because of the grant and the appropriations and things like that, but not just that, but it was local donations. The city prepped the land and got our utilities hooked up and so forth, and there was technical assistance, you know, provided by different professionals in the community. So it was just kind of community-wide collaboration to get the facility built, and kind of the same thing with this new building that's going to be placed up by our facility.
Well, the services that SOY provides helps our community and our entire area so much, we need to support you guys too as well.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's forgotten is that, I mean, beyond the services, is that we bring a lot of dollars into the community. Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned, you know, 13, 14 full-time employees and all the summer jobs for kids and all that. So there's a lot of revenue that's coming into the city. So I think that's one thing to be appreciated, is that not just the services, but the dollars that SOY is able to bring into the community.
Superstars of business.
Superstars.
That's what it is. Again, that 16th annual two-person scramble deadline for entry is noon on Friday. $65 per player, and a shotgun start at 10 a.m. But you have one of the best scramble tournaments that they put on.
I think so. I mean, 16 years, we've had a lot of practice.
Yeah. And still not getting any better on the course.
Yep, exactly.
International Bank, again, one of the sponsors, and they helped so much.
Ever since the beginning, yeah.
They helped so much with many of our community. And then you're going to come back as later this week with a full list.
With my long list.
Yes, okay.
One,
we'll block off an hour or so for you.
Great, I appreciate that. One other thing, Scare Fair.
We're doing a Scare Fair. The Scare Fair primarily is to help us with those incentives and goodies that we give out to the youth as part of the activities with the programming. So half of that money on the profit will go through the drug court. And when they make accomplishments, achieve a phase change, continued sobriety and good conduct in school and behavior, we reward the youth. Sometimes that's a pizza or a movie ticket. And so those monies aren't covered through the regular grants. And so we do these fundraisers. And the Scare Fair is October 28th at the mid-school. Going to have a dance right after. Should be a lot of fun. And then, like Furman said, our Sweet 16 on our golf tournament is this weekend. So we count on those activities to keep us going.
Friday, October 28th, again, open to the public. It's kind of like the old junior high carnival, right?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they'll have booths, et cetera. You can play different games. And
right.
And then the admission is free, but you buy tickets to play at the games. Is
exactly.
That what it is?
Different packages for whether it be a family or an individual. We met with Mr. Cavazos at the mid-school last week to talk about the logistics and where we're going to put our concession. And it is our first one. So, but it should be a lot of fun.
Okay. And if businesses or individuals want to get in on that, they can just call you at SOY?
Definitely.
Someone at SOY?
Yep. 445-8568. Give myself, Mickey, a call. If we're not there, I'm sure someone will be there to take a message.
Okay. And that's 5 o'clock Friday, October 28th, the Scare Fair.
Yes.
Well, we've just sort of seen the tip of the iceberg here.
Yep.
We can keep going and going, and hopefully soy will keep continuing to go and go. Not only, as you said, the services you provide, but also the flow that you bring into our community as far as economics, as far as good mentors, good examples for us, which we can all learn from.
Well, the other thing I forgot to mention is that we help to promote or help, I guess, we try to promote within the organization and within the community to get, you know, people that come in to start working at a different, at a certain level. We encourage them to get more education, get their master's and get higher licensures and things like that. So it's not just employing people, it's bringing, you know, professionals and developing professionals within the community to work with, you know, people within our own community.
Continuing education.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, when you started in 1983, you didn't have any computers? Or did you?
No. Yeah. I guess we didn't.
Yes, you didn't, huh?
And I remember the old Apples, you know, our first mm-hmm. Apple computer, and you had to boot it and all this crazy stuff. Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Okay, so now technology has helped you, I'm assuming?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We have everything linked. Everybody has a workstation and all the rest.
Very important. Human mm-hmm. human is the most important link, though.
Yep.
And you've brought some great ones here, and it was very good to meet you. Thank you so much. Angie Ortega, Deborah Vega Cowan, and Mona Sandoval, thank you.
Sure.
And best of luck. And for you, Furman Uliberry, thank you for all you've done for our community and continue to do. And we'll see you in the near future,
yep,
no
very
doubt.
Near.
Okay, very good. Or on the golf course. Thank you.
Thanks.
Soy, our superstars of business today. Thank you for joining us on the Superstars of Business as Pioneer Natural Resources sponsors this in-depth look at area businesses, products, and services. Join us again tomorrow as we learn about another local business or organization and their contributions to our community. The Superstars of Business. If you'd like to learn more about Pioneer Natural Resources, they have a website, www.pxd.com.